Welcome to the Earn More, Stress Less podcast with me, Caro Sison. This podcast is for self-employed business owners just like you, who really want to grow their business and become successful and profitable, but without all the stress and hassle. I want to share my 30 years of business experience to show you how simple it can be to earn more money and how you can get organized without needing a business degree or any other qualifications. I'll be talking about the easy steps that you can put in place right now to start earning more money today and to help you get the business that you deserve and dream of. Without further ado, let's get started. This week's podcast is sponsored by Pocket PA, helping self-employed business owners to get organized, understand their finances, and do their accounts all in one place using a powerful online tool. If you're serious about making a profit and having a successful business, then using a simple digital web app like Pocket PA is the best way to grow and scale your business. Visit pocketpa.com for more details and start managing your money like a pro today. Hello, a huge and happy welcome wherever you are in the world today. I'm Caro Sison, and I'm excited to have you join us for the Earn More, Stress Less podcast. Today, we're putting a spotlight on education, looking at self-employment and specifically educational programs to our younger people nationwide in the UK, as they are the sources of where a lot of our self-employed young people are going to originate from in the future. So I'm thrilled today to welcome this week's guest to the show, Jane Shipley. A huge welcome, Jane. How are you? Thanks for coming on today.
Good, thank you.
Good, yeah, good.
Thank you for having me on board, Caroline. Lovely to see you.
Good. So today, Jane's going to run us through a little bit about how she's got to where she is now. But really, the sort of underlying theme and how I work with Jane is that I believe that there are squares and circles. I call them squircles. And it's where people are trying to fit square pegs into round holes. And I very much believe that squares should be squares and circles should be circles. And it's totally fine to coexist together. And so Jane has formed a company. And now she works, she is self-employed, but in 2015, Jane formed ELSA, which stands for Education, Learning, Skills and Achievement. And that now delivers bespoke educational programs to our young people nationwide in the UK. So Jane, could you just give us a little bit of a history? It would be lovely to hear more about your journey and what you're doing out there at the moment to change the world of self-employment.
Absolutely. So I run my own business, as you say, Caroline. I went to university when I was 34, having been at Argos as the youngest manager at 19. And then I went to university because someone suggested that I could go and teach retail at a local college. So I went to the college, realised that not many square people, and there are lots of people with squircles, like myself included.
I love being a square. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, I'm very much a squircle in terms of my journey, but nowadays I feel I fit. But in terms of working prior to ELSA, I was working at the college. I started to realise that young people I was working with don't necessarily fit the method of education that was being provided. Went off to work for an educational charity called Young Enterprise, which I thoroughly enjoyed at the time, became sort of management of a particular area, which was in North Hertfordshire, grew my volunteer base, grew the programmes and started creating bespoke programmes as part of the process for Young Enterprise. And then, to be honest, they decided that they only wanted to have one size fits all programmes, really. So a very, very keen volunteer at the time, Lorraine, said to me, "Why have you ever thought about setting up on your own?" Got a few friends on board, contacted a few schools, said goodbye to all my volunteers as I left Young Enterprise, and all of them, bar none, are still volunteers of ELSA Next Generation, which is really exciting and proud to be able to say. It just grew from there, really. I opened up initially as a limited, changed to a community interest company.
Okay. And you have lots and lots of volunteers, don't you? You have like 500 businesses and community volunteers that you work with to deliver your program, to make your model work. Can you just share a bit about how that works?
Absolutely. So volunteers come on board through all sorts of means. So a community volunteer might meet me on a dog walk and I might suddenly talk about ELSA. And that's how, for example, we've got John, who regularly volunteers. He brings in spaniels for therapy for some young people who have social, emotional, and mental health needs. But equally, he might come along as a mock interviewer. Mm-hmm. Business volunteers, what happens is they often start as a mock interviewer in a mainstream school, hear about the fact that we work across all educational settings, and some of them then realise actually what they want to do is work with young people who are classed as potentially slightly more vulnerable. And Elsa works across all settings. We were going to children's homes as well. So we generally grow our business volunteers through word of mouth. We nearly always start with one volunteer from every business. And for example, Computer Centre gave us 220 volunteers last year.
Goodness, so that's amazing. Got,
yeah, absolutely.
We've almost one for every day of the year, not quite.
Absolutely,
but,
yeah. Absolutely. You know, we've worked with Computer Centre for many years, thanks to a lady called Doris. And then it just grows from there, from word of mouth. Companies talk to companies. You know, people talk to people, but also it helps with their CSR targets, so their corporate targets. I can hit their diversity and inclusion targets as a business, which is really key when trying mm-hmm. to work with other businesses.
That's a real buzzword at the moment, isn't it? Diversity and inclusion. What does that actually mean, Jane, when in sort of break yeah. it down?
Absolutely. So when businesses work with me, I can hit their youth acquisition targets. So, you know, early talent acquisition targets. I can hit the targets that they have, which means that every person of any gender can become part of their employee sort of base. And so coming into schools or colleges or different educational settings with me, they can tick those targets, but also they can advertise their potential job opportunities to young people. We also hit their targets for disability confident employers. So many volunteers that I work with are part of a disability confident employer scheme. And so we can hit their targets because we work with young people who are on the autistic spectrum, have disabilities, whether that be neurological or physical disabilities.
So can I just ask, this isn't just a lip service exercise for the employers to just hit these targets and say, you know what, we have a token gesture because we're, you know, working with you. This is actual opportunities that you're creating for this minority group of diverse people in all of these different sectors to actually physically, realistically get some sort of employment at the end of it.
Absolutely.
Is that so? You are a real connector in that sector to enable them. It's not just a tick box exercise for these companies, because you are really connecting yeah. and reaching out to those people. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, so for some of them, I'm sure they think, great, you tick the targets, Jane, from
yes,
Elsa,
we'll work
but
with you.
Absolutely. But the majority of them, if not all of them now, Caroline, have become really strong supporters of Elsa. Mm-hmm. And they're doing it because they believe what we do is actually right for those young people. Mm-hmm. It's not so much, well done, Jane, we got in front of 8,000 people. One of the companies I already mentioned are changing their CSR future strategy from September, and it will fit everything Elsa. It mm-hmm. will fit every diverse and inclusive strapline target, you know. Mm-hmm. But we also help with continuing professional development. So when you're self-employed and you can go to a business or you can go to an audience and say, actually, I can teach you how, you know, some of your peers or your people can become self-employed and or work in the community and or talk to other corporates. So for example, if I was to do something about LGBTQIA+, which is
gracious.
A workshop.
There's more and more letters, aren't there?
It's more and more letters. Yeah. It's A to Z now, which is fabulous. But yes. I'm very much an ally of that community. Mm-hmm. And so I run a program called I Am Proud, where mm-hmm. we bring in mainstream and other students in on board. But we've now got 5 different companies talking to each other because they've come through Elsa. And so they're learning from each other. So, you know, I think as a self-employed business owner, I can learn so much from other people.
Yeah,
I
agree.
I've learned from you. I've learned certain things. I'm learning all the time. And I think as a self-employed business owner, it's really important that that's what you want to do. That you really want to learn every day.
Yeah. And I know that you're a really passionate teaching professional and you've got creativity, but I know that your reputation goes before you as a getting things done. You're very much a doer, yes. just like myself. And I think the fact that, you know, I do classify myself as a square rather than a circle. I do need rounding around, but I just think that so many, you know, for the diversity and inclusion sector, where there are so many people that, you know, I would say the majority of people don't fit, as it were, in inverted air quotes or whatever. So there are a huge number of people that perhaps feel in that square sector. And the fact that you're marrying them up, not to make them into a circle, but to actually say, you know, you can work side by side. And there's so much more richness that we can bring to people's horizons and workspaces by bringing this sector into the marketplace and encouraging them, you know, to you know, be excited to work in that way. Because I think, you know, people have been conditioned to actually fit in. And I actually think people should be celebrating their differences and their diversity to actually, you know, that uniqueness is what we specialize in when we're self-employed, because people are choosing us not just on price, but on the offering that we give based around the whole package of who we are and what we stand for, our values, and, you know, all of those things which make up our uniqueness. And so I don't want to see the squares being pushed into, you know, circles. I think that's the beauty of who they are. And I want us to celebrate those. So the fact that we're bringing together to the corporates, because I used to be quite skeptical of, you know, these checkbox exercises where they were just taking on a token multicultural person or somebody of a different ethnic background, or, you know, somebody that stated a different gender on their application form. But I can see that people like yourself, Jane, working really hard to marry the two up and make it a good fit that isn't just an exercise, a paper exercise, but, you know, it's bringing huge value and rewards to both sides, really. And I just love that.
Absolutely. I love the fact that we just embrace everyone, you know,
because that's what we should do. We're all unique. Yes. And it's a celebration of all of our differences. That's what makes us so exciting. And,
you know, as I said, I think we learn from each other as well, which is really exciting. Mm-hmm. So I'm very much, I might teach, but I love to learn as well.
Yeah. No, I get that. And what do you love about being self-employed yourself? What are the richnesses that you find is just like irreplaceable?
What don't I like? Okay. Yes. So what I love is seeing other people, particularly young people in front of me, grow visibly in front of me, I think. But being self-employed, to actually know that when I get up out of bed in the morning, I have a reason, if that makes sense.
A purpose.
Purpose. And Jack Parsons is a great leader, and he's part of, he meets lots of MPs. He's a young lad who is incredibly dynamic, and set up his own business called the Duvet Flip. And
Jane, just stop there. Sorry, we lost the connection just a moment. Could you just go back and recap that from who that chap is?
Absolutely. So Jack Parsons is part of a very large youth forum network, in particularly in London, but across the UK, meeting with the government, a very young, dynamic young man who understands that not everyone is going to have the best chance all the time, but he's got a lot of employers on board. And Jack has a saying called his duvet flip. And I totally believe that Elsa Next Generation is my duvet flip. It is my absolute reason for getting out of bed. I've pinched it from back. I'm proud to say that. I'm quite happy to say that. That's what I do. That's why I do it. It's a really good reason for getting out of bed. Every day I see something I do, whether it be an email that comes back saying, Jane, thank you so much for this. I've literally just sent an email about a young lad who came to a school recently, met the Navy on the day, and is now going to come for work experience with the Army next week. They support ELSA, for example, the two armed forces, and he's going to apply. Now, a year ago, he had no idea what he wanted to do. He's an excluded student. He's already feeling pretty hard on himself. That's a huge outcome. And so my email, I haven't even been in the school today and I'm still smiling. It's still a duvet flip. That's the reason I do it, really.
I think there are, I mean, I'm talking with you on Friday this week, where I'm coming in to talk to over 200 of your students just about self-employment and that sort of thing. I'm so excited about doing that. Super nervous because I know my knees will be knocking, but I love the opportunities that we get to speak to young people doing this sort of thing, because I think there aren't enough conversations at the moment going on in schools to talk about those that perhaps aren't excelling academically. And, you know, you talked and touched on those that have been excluded. You know, those numbers are increasing. We have more mental health problems being sort of recognized and being delivered, I think, through, you know, society and social media those sorts of channels. We've also, you know, recognizing a lot more neurodiversity in our communities and schools. And, you know, I think there's a growing sort of evolution of kids that are coming through the system where they may not be academically classified as book smart, and they may disengage. And obviously where teachers' resources are spread very thinly, they don't always have the capacity and the time to be able to deliver individually to all of those individual students. And when they do drop off and they disengage, and you know, perhaps they haven't also got the support at home to, you know, give them that great head start in life that everybody, you know, hopes is available to all of us. It isn't. And I just feel, you know, I don't want these kids dropping through the gap and them thinking that because they're not going onto this trajectory of university and further education, and because they haven't been told at school that they're going to amount to anything much, that they then disengage. And you talked about the young lad going into the forces. I feel that there's often a real crossroads for some of these students where they could, you know, get their life on track, or it could go in a completely opposite direction, in my experience, where, you know, they could go down a different pathway, potentially into a life of perhaps crime and, you know, getting on the wrong side of the law because they feel lack of opportunity, lack of fitting in, lack of, you know, role models and people to support them on their journey, feeling that perhaps nobody understands them. And I'm really passionate about trying to reach those people before they get to that fork in the road, to instill that confidence, to say you absolutely matter, and you know, we have avenues for you exactly like you offer, Jane. And I wish there was a Jane in every school, and I know that I can only sort of support you from the fringes, but I want to reach that message out to enable people to know that, you know, there are adults in and around that have belief in these young people wherever they come from in their background, and that every person has potential. And that was one of the reasons that I made Pocket PA in the first place, was to offer a huge opportunity for young people, you know, moving straight into self-employment right at the get-go, like my son and daughter did, because they didn't have any formal education at school in order to be able to understand what was involved in working for themselves. And it wasn't that they didn't fit in at school. They had a huge, you know, friendship group and those sorts of things. So they certainly, you know, they kept their head down. They weren't in trouble at school particularly. But I know that, you know, they weren't at the top of the class. They weren't being channeled onto further education and stuff. So I really want, you know, self-employment to be on the horizon, and or apprenticeships, those sorts of things, where we are sort of those opportunity points for people to be able to do that sort of thing. And that's, you know, huge reason why I support your scheme, Jane, and what you do. As I say, there should be a Jane in every school. What sort of messages are you going into the schools to give and deliver in that vein about self-employment?
Okay, so by law, or by the Gatsby benchmark, so every school nowadays has an Ofsted rating, and obviously people go in and they look at how the school's doing. But there's also something called the Gatsby benchmarks, which comes through the careers institutes out there, and it would affect an Ofsted. And the Gatsby benchmarks say that from the year seven child, so a 12-year-old, must meet one employer every year. And there are other things like they must have meaningful encounters with employers, they must know about the local labour market information, they must know where they could go to get career support and everything. That didn't used to really happen in every school of the land. It's certainly coming in now much more, but also they have to give impartial careers advice. So, for example, I was sitting with some young people yesterday, and one of the ladies, she's left university. She's had some trauma happen at home, so she's come home to be a young carer. But she's frustrated because she's got an £18,000 debt, having gone to university, because that's all she thought she was able to do, because that's the way she was guided. She's an academically bright young person, so she's able to go to uni, but she's not even got a degree now because she's had to come out. And she said to me, "You're self-employed, Jane. You know, how much do you earn?" I did share with her that I haven't had a salary for many years until recently, but wow, it's been worth the journey to get there. But also, you know, we have to give impartial advice to all young people. We shouldn't be saying it's only the route to university. It's only the route to an apprenticeship. So I take in volunteers, I take in businesses, I take in people who can tell their career story. As you know, I ask for people to make videos to say, you know, maybe sit with a young person in a children's home, or maybe sit in an excluded centre where the children really do feel that although they're not getting the right attention, any attention might be right. So, for example, they can get into grooms or gangs just like any young person can. But any attention sometimes is better than no attention.
Sure.
So if I take in someone like KZent come in and they dig the roads when we have a gas leak, but they come in and talk about the apprenticeships that they offer. You know, we've got people coming in from Tesco's who have got graduates coming in. So yes, they've been to uni, but some of them have started to shelf fillers. You know, it's fine. I tell everybody you're on your own path.
Mm-hmm.
I tell everyone you can start when you want.
Yes.
But I do definitely bring in the fact that I'm an entrepreneur. I decided to become my own business, you know, not many years ago. I'm 55 now. So what was I, 48? Maybe it was a bit of a gamble. Mm-hmm. It's still a gamble. You know, mm-hmm. I still, particularly during furlough, you know, we had no income coming in at all. But actually, furlough for myself and the pandemic for myself has made me rejig where I want to go with my company. So some good's come out of it, as well as, you know, some really scary times.
Yeah.
But in terms of the young people, I tell them it's very much a squiggly path and that's okay. And the other thing we're told to tell young people is that they could have up to 30 jobs in their lifetime now going forward. Whereas before, if somebody had said that to me, I'd have thought, my goodness, 30 jobs, how am I going to fit them all in? But I did work out the other day, I have had 18.
Jane, okay. I did the same exercise actually myself the other day, and I'd had between 30 and 40 different things that I dipped my toe into there. And you know what? Each of those things brings another strand of experience to us. And I think particularly as entrepreneurs and self-employed, I love it that, you know, you've come to self-employment later in life just to, you know, demonstrate really clearly that age doesn't have to be a barrier. You can start when you're sort of 16, 18, or, you know, and we still have those same fears and anxieties and challenges, you know, as a young person might when it's starting something new. But what's the impact when you show some of those videos to those young people? And what do they engage with it? Do you see their eyes sort of take interest?
So if I was to give you a scenario of where I go into a children's home and I meet young people who don't engage with education due to all sorts of reasons, but many times they've just been moved to a new area, another home, and I walk in and they're not engaging with education. So I go in and talk to them. The majority of them in the first 3-4 times say, go away. I'm not going to tell you my story. I don't want to tell you my story. I don't want to tell you again, because you're not going to come back next week. And by the sixth time, they might be saying, have a cup of tea with me, or I take a pizza in, or whatever. And they're starting to engage. And then when they start talking to me about not necessarily their dreams, because many of their dreams can be nightmares, if I'm honest. So I would probably just say to them, what are their interests? You know, we might do a few handouts. We might do a bit of flip chart paper. It doesn't really matter how we do it. It might walk on a dog walk. But I ask them and try and get glimpses of anything that they might have a passion for or potential exploration interest. And then sitting on a sofa with a young person who has not engaged at all, and being able to show them a video of someone who says, it's all right to get it wrong. It's equally all right to be highly gifted and talented. It's also okay to have no idea at all. It's also okay to have exactly the right idea when you're 16 and know exactly where you want to be. And 10 years later, I'm still in that position. Because I think any young person or anybody, I think anybody's journey is important to listen to. So, you know, I sat with a young person the other day. She wants to go into show jumping. I showed 6 tiny WhatsApp clips of someone who lives in Norfolk in a stables. And this young girl's eyes, her dad said, because we don't normally get parents involved, said it's the first time he's seen his young person smile in 2 years. And then, you know, I've got someone going to Ryanair to work on a simulator and work with the engineers for a week because he listened to one of their videos. Got someone going to Computer Center to work with the IT department. He has Tourette's. He thought he had no hope at all. He listened to a scrum master. He listened to a cybersecurity young person. He's going for work experience because he's feeling empowered and mm-hmm. that people care. So I suppose what I feel about it is that it's worth asking. And I think that's a really good thing to say to anyone who wants to go into self-employment. Be really nosy, be really cheeky, and just ask.
Yeah.
People can only say no. you know, and if they say no, it's often that they don't feel able to do it or they don't feel confident enough to do it. And that's what I've found with volunteers particularly. But being self-employed and seeing those young people with just a little spark, or being able to engage because actually I'm going to keep coming back, or somebody does care. And that's the other thing with those videos, Caroline. They say to me, why does Caroline care about making a video? She doesn't even know me. And I then they
it
get
that scrambles their mind, doesn't it? They can't understand that people could take time out to talk to
why
them.
Why are you doing that? You know, But they then think, well, if Caroline cares and I've not even met her, then maybe society does care after all.
And so it's adjusting this messaging.
Adjusting that messaging, because many of them, whether it's mainstream school students even hearing a fantastic video, they can be sitting in that audience thinking, it's all right what mum and dad tell me to do, it's all right what my carers or guardians tell me to do, it's all right what my friends' parents or my grandparents tell me to do, but I actually don't know if I want to do that. And so you've got to shift that mentality as well of, actually, can I step out of that? Do I have to go down that route because all my friends are going down that route? You know, and it's all right to do that.
But it takes a brave student to be able to do that when they've got expectations from parents or family members, or the school is, you know, channeling them in a particular direction. So sometimes it takes that alternative perspective. And I love it that you have found your purpose. This is one of the key threads through self-employment, that, you know, when you match with your purpose and you're able to do it every single day, that you're in the right spot, you know, exactly where you need to be. And I just, you know, that really makes your heart sing totally on being able to be self-employed and being your own boss. And I think that sometimes scrambles the young person's mind to sort of think that they could be their own boss. But there's so much that, you know, I know you have a huge bank of volunteers, and, you know, sometimes people
can always have more.
Yes. Why would people volunteer? But by giving, you actually receive yourself so much from it. There's so much value to giving back. You know, it sounds a bit cliched, you know, giving back, doing volunteer work, but there, I get so much from being able to connect with people like that. It's not, you know, you let go of the ego and you just are able to put yourself into helping other people. And there's something really nurturing for my soul. I feel quite self-indulgent when
fantastic
I get to do
it. Our mental health, isn't it? It's fantastic for our mental health. I go to businesses, it's fantastic for their staff's mental health. It's fantastic for the young people's mental health that they meet. So
it's a real leveler, I think. And it really puts your day back into perspective. And I know as self-employed business owners, we are all, you know, with a gazillion things that we're doing every single day. And we think, oh my goodness, I could never find time for volunteering or for, but I think that it's actually a really nurturing part of, if you do, you know, think that your own mental health might be sort of on the edge, or you're feeling at the near to burnout or something like that as a self-employed person, I think it's really important to step back and think of some of the things that could fill your cup up a little bit more. And certainly volunteering is one of those things that I feel could be, you know, if you could slot in just a couple of hours a week, if you are, you know, on that journey, and to think, well, that sort of time out, that is actually me time, although it might be giving to someone else, it's actually filling your cup up with something, you know, different connections, and regaining that perspective to see how other people, you know, might not be drifting through life in the same trajectory. It's really humbling, certainly for me.
As well, thank you. And I like to give back as well. So an example is, I did a Get Ready Day with the excluded students a couple of months ago. A lady came as a volunteer, loved what she did, loved everything about the whole day. And then I said to her, how about making a workshop for me for an event on Friday, which you're attending? And so I'm paying her to facilitate a workshop for me. But also what she's able to do is get her brand into that school, because she works in education and that's her field, and she's self-employed. And she's helping me. She helped me.
So it's another win-win-win.
Win-win for everyone, because actually her name is now in that school. If she's in front of over 1,200 young people because a leaflet might be dropped into someone's bag or an e-doc or what have you, I mean, you know, for her, it's amazing. For me, it's fantastic because she's meeting all the young people about entrepreneurship, but also she's getting a great deal out of it as well. So, yeah, it's absolutely fantastic for all of us involved, really.
Yeah.
I think volunteering
And I love it how, you know, different age groups as well working together gives a totally different perspective, because creativity is often sparked through fresh ideas when you know, that was one of the, you know, dramatic things, I think, that working from home where people were in isolation, they weren't bouncing ideas off people. And as self-employed business owners, we are working quite often, you know, single-handedly, solo in our own workspace or wherever it is we work from. So there isn't that sort of camaraderie and team sort of building that we have in a corporate workspace. So as a solo business owner, to have that opportunity to network and to, you know, have younger people you know, in your space or sort of people.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and with different work levels of experience, because I know you work with some corporates coming in to talk with the students. It's just a really good nurturing ground for your own self-employed business to actually, you know, firstly have the networking opportunities, but secondly to open your mind up to thinking how it could impact on your self-employed business, because, you know, those are the ideas and those are the times when creativity is often sparked when you're in those situations. And I love, you know, surrounding yourself with knowledge and opportunities.
And I think collaboration for me is what makes the world tick, if I'm honest.
Yes.
And I do also think, as a self-employed person, if you can get mentors, I think they are vital. I've got two directors who are going to have been incredible mentors over various years. Roma, I met through the University of Hertfordshire scheme. She came on board during COVID. Wow, you know, changed quite a lot of my mindset during COVID, because she came with a business brain rather than me just thinking I knew what I was doing. I've got a director who sort of levels me a bit and says, right, he's a business mentor, business coach, and says, right, have you got 36 things in your diary that day, Jane? You probably need 12 or whatever. And then I have directors and ambassadors who promote what I do, but equally, you know, shout out when it's appropriate. So we've just won an award, for example, with the Careers Development Institute, which is really exciting.
Fantastic.
So I know we've won a UK award, which is hugely exciting. And they're now like, right, how can we get that brand out there? Because ultimately all the young people will gain from that. So
yes.
I think my mentors have made a huge difference to my business.
Yeah, I think that's really valuable for self-employed people if they are able to sort of widen their network, to have mentors or coaches to, you know, help and support them on that journey. Jane, it's been absolutely fascinating. I'm really excited for all of the projects that you've got going. Now, if anybody would like to get in touch with you, if they're perhaps thinking of volunteering themselves or they want to find out more about your program and the things that you're offering, what would be the best way for them to get in touch with you?
So probably the best way at the moment, because I'm having a new website made.
Hooray!
As we speak. I know you have got the website address there right in front of you.
I'll pop that into the show notes.
Absolutely, that would be amazing.
Yes.
But Jane at Elsa, so it's Jane at Elsa, ELSA, dot education.
Lovely.
And that's my email address. And then I'm on LinkedIn as well, which will also, I think, be in the show reels. So please get in touch. Let me tell you all about Elsa and all the young people that I work alongside and how privileged I am to do that. So
thank you.
That's my great tip.
No, I'm really, I love the idea of the duvet flip, but thank you so much, Jane.
Loads
of things that we can take out of this episode. I hope you've really enjoyed listening today to Earn More, Stress Less. Be sure to check out the show notes for all your information to reach Jane, and please hit subscribe. I love it when you leave a review so others can also hear what you got out of the show, and it can also see how they can help them on their business journey. I hope you have a wonderful week ahead, earn lots of lovely money, and obviously with the least amount of stress. So until next time, let's catch up soon. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to the Earn More, Stress Less podcast with me, Caro Sison. If you've enjoyed this week's episode, then do hit subscribe so we can catch up again soon. And please kindly leave a review if you've got a moment, and share with anyone else that you think this podcast could help on their self-employed journey. If you're ready to make bigger breakthroughs in your business life and want to get way more organised and understand your finances the really simple way, then start your very own 14-day free trial today using the super powerful software tool Pocket PA that I made for my own son and daughter. Go to pocketpa.com/podcast and let's get you on the way to earning more money and stressing much less. Have a great week, whatever you're doing.